This is 89.9 WWNL. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an entertaining theater season, a lesson in woodworking, or a festival celebrating new playwrights, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. By now, everyone knows the national tour of the Broadway mega-hit musical Hamilton will play the Sanger Theater's Broadway in New Orleans series come the 2018-19 season. We get the latest on tickets for this coveted event, a peek at the opening season, and the overall state of the Sanger as General Manager David Skinner joins us. Welcome to Inside the Arts. How are you?
Good afternoon, Diane. I'm doing wonderful.
We are 4 years past the massive post-Katrina restoration of the Sanger. How are things today?
I have to tell you, things are great at the Sanger. We're coming up on our fourth anniversary in September, and we have had some fantastic concerts, fantastic Broadway from Wicked, Lion King. All the mega hits have been at the Sanger that couldn't have played there before because the staging area was too small, and we couldn't hold the mega hits, but now we can. And with the enlarged stage house, we can have the big shows, the big concerts. So the past 4 years have been almost a blur. It's been so good.
This was a multi-million dollar restoration, I believe $52 million. What are you most proud of?
We may have spent $52 million, but so much of it was behind the scenes and infrastructure. We kept the integrity of the iconic Sanger Theater. It's a brand new 90-year-old building, if you would. We did add a lot of patron services, restrooms on the ground floor, which you never had before, new and improved air conditioning throughout the building. I know that there were times when people in the back of the orchestra were a little warm before Katrina, so we've taken care of all of that. But at the end of the day, we were able to keep the integrity of the Sanger.
Now, the Sanger is home to a variety of performing arts attractions, comedy shows, musical acts, live theater, but it is the Broadway in New Orleans series that I'd like to focus on. How many shows left in this season, and what's coming up next season?
Well, we have two shows left this year, Finding Neverland, and we have Mamma Mia. We're kind of fortunate with Mamma Mia. It is the last engagement before they close up the doors forever for Mamma Mia. We've had it here 4 or 5 times, and it's always done well. So we thought, why not give it one more try? Let's do the Swan Song and have it in June for 8 performances.
And you have an exciting lineup for your new season, which opens in the fall.
We have a great season. We start out with a show called Escape from Margaritaville. Now, nobody's heard of it. This is a brand new show, music by some guy named Jimmy Buffett. That has some kind of attraction to New Orleans. I'm really not sure what all that is. I'm being facetious, obviously. This is his adopted home. But the show itself, unlike our Broadway shows that have been on Broadway and they come to New Orleans, this is the reverse of that. They're going to rehearse. They're going to tech here for 5 weeks in the Sanger. And in October, the show will open for 10 performances on its way to Broadway. So it's the precursor. Instead of coming from Broadway to us, they're starting out of New Orleans going to Broadway. So we've now covered both sides of the pendulum there.
Well, that's interesting.
We have White Christmas, which is one that we've worked for 4 or 5 years to get. We have An American in Paris. We have the always popular Color Purple. We fought long and hard to get that one back because it went back to Broadway again and won more Tony Awards for its new version. I know that's going to play well. We have Rent coming in. We have Waitress, which is music of Sarah Bareilles. And then we have a little show called Phantom of the Opera.
Wow. And the piece de resistance, Lin-Manuel Miranda's story of America's founding father, the Broadway hit musical.
Every city is fighting to get Hamilton. And I will thank New Orleans for supporting our Broadway series. It has been extremely successful. Coming out of Katrina and where we were before Katrina to where we have been the past few years, our Broadway series is extremely successful. And that success helped us when you get down to negotiating with mega hits like Hamilton. They want to go to where Broadway is accepted, where it's popular, where people love it. And thanks to New Orleans, we moved up the pecking list quite nicely. We are negotiating now on the final details on that, but it is going to be a fantastic engagement. It'll be in the 18-19 season.
Is it too early to reserve tickets for Hamilton?
It is too early. You can't reserve tickets now. You can't buy tickets now. We're still working even on the pricing of what it might be. However, there is one way that you can get tickets and have them guaranteed. And if you are a subscriber for the 17-18 season, which is on sale now, that is guaranteeing you the ability to have tickets for Hamilton when it comes in the following season. If you aren't a subscriber, I'm not saying that you can't get tickets, but the odds aren't always in your favor.
So if you subscribe to the 17-18 season, the upcoming season, you are guaranteed a ticket when you renew.
Absolutely. Yes. All of our subscribers for 2017-18 are guaranteed tickets for Hamilton when it comes in the 18-19 season.
What is the big draw for this show? Why is it so popular across the nation?
One, it's a good storyline. It talks about one of our founding fathers, obviously. But it's the music, and it's the style of music that brings in today's genre, from rap to hip-hop. And you don't see that in Broadway. People will talk about the Broadway-style singers and so forth. This is not that kind of show. It's very upbeat. It's very positive. And I think that is what resonates with all of America, that it's different. It's exciting, it's fun, and it tells a good story.
And it's coming to town during the city's tricentennial year. Did you plan that, or was it luck?
Let's face it, for Hamilton to be here during that time frame, yeah, every constellation is set for us.
Sanger Theater General Manager David Skinner, thanks for stopping by.
Diane, my pleasure.
More information on the Broadway in New Orleans series is online at sangernola.com. You know, you can learn a lot about New Orleans culture just strolling the fairgrounds between musical acts at Jazz Fest. There is a trove of treasures in the Louisiana Folklife Village. That's where you'll find Heinz Gauci. He hails from Switzerland, but makes New Orleans his home. A master in the architectural trades with a passion for millwork and historic restoration. Heinz, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You come from half a world away. How did you land in New Orleans?
I traveled in 1990 for 6.5 months through the U.S. and Canada, stumbled on New Orleans, fell in love, stayed a few days more than I was supposed to, continued my journey back to Switzerland for a wedding for my brother, and then I worked in Switzerland for 5 months. I had to draw to keep traveling, so I figured easy way, come back to New Orleans, stay for 2 or 3 months, and then keep traveling for like 3 years. Now, looking back, it's 26 years ago. I'm still in New Orleans.
It's one thing to come for a visit, another to stay for 26 years. What is it that keeps you in New Orleans?
I guess the culture, the music, the architecture. Life was just easy.
How were you first attracted to woodworking?
As a kid, like 13 years old, my dad used to say to everybody, "You want something extra? You can have it. You can have anything you want to, as long as you have money to pay for." And I said, "Dad, I don't have any money." He's like, "Yeah, there's a shop, a carpentry shop up the street in a little town I grew up. They hire you. You can go work there and you can buy with the money anything you want to." So that's how it started. As a kid in school, taking my off time and go to work.
And when was it that you knew it would be your life's work?
Actually, I didn't know that till later on here in New Orleans. I met a person, Cindy Koifer, who has now a beautiful bed and breakfast in the Treme, and she saw a talent in me and said, "Look, we need people like you to do millwork." And she offered me financing my business. And from there, I started my shop 21 years ago.
What makes a restoration project, particularly in New Orleans, a challenge for you?
The intricacy of the millwork is pretty stunning. I just now built this arch doorway for a new construction house built the old-fashioned way. It's not really symmetrical. You really have to pay attention to see those differences in it. They're very subtle. That's the fun part of it. You know, just creating something is one thing. When you go and research how it was done, learning the reasoning, they had less technology and less tooling. They're doing beautiful work. And now to recreate that today is quite a challenge.
What is it that attracts you to wood?
The softness, the smell, the way it feels. I mean, when you have a piece of wood and it's a door and you just run your hands over it, it's just beautiful.
And what types of wood do you work with?
Two favorite woods I like to use is cherry and walnut. That's mainly for furniture. Architecture millwork, we only use Spanish cedar. The only other thing is acacia. It's a treated wood. When you cut it, it smells like vinegar potato chips. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's very, very durable.
What project would you say you are most proud of to date?
I built last year a double-winding dancing staircase from scratch.
At Jazz Fest, will you demonstrate your woodworking skills?
Yes, we're going to be four people. I have three people working with me. So I have Patrick Condon, who is with me like 4.5 years. He's going to do some dovetailing. And then I have Charles, who just started with us. He's carving a wooden bowl. And then Eric and I going to build the model of a new staircase, a spiral staircase, for a project in the Marigny, where we're creating all the millwork for this house. So I was hoping we have finished the staircase model for Jazz Fest, though we're a little bit behind. So we decided, you know what, we bring some extra tools out and we're going to maybe or hopefully finish it at Jazz Fest.
So we'll get to see perhaps the finished product.
I hope so, yeah.
So how would you say you are adding to the city's architectural landscape?
Keep building new houses who look like exactly old houses, not fake. It's all nicely handcrafted millwork, and keep the old architecture alive and renovating it. From day one, 21 years ago, I always wanted, and I still kind of want to do it, it's just not easy, starting a woodworking school. So what I started a few years ago, I take some interns. So they do carvings, they do dovetails, everything by hand. I really want people to stay in their business. Somebody said to me, you worry about competition? I said, no, competition is good. That keeps you on your toes. So I don't mind to educate somebody, teach somebody, and then they have their own job. Well, it's good. The more we educate people, the better the work should be.
Woodworker Heinz Gauci, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Likewise.
Heinz Gauci will be in the Louisiana Folklife Village this weekend at Jazz Fest. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. New works by local playwrights fill the bill as the UNO Playwrights Festival continues its run in the Marigny. The University of New Orleans and the Theater at St. Claude join creative forces offering students and recent alums of the UNO Master of Fine Arts Playwriting Program a platform to showcase staged readings of their works. Joining me now is playwright and festival coordinator Brian Rieger, whose work will be read tonight and UNO Assistant Professor of Playwriting, Justin Maxwell. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having us.
It's great to be here.
This must be such an exciting venture for both students and professor. Brian, is this the first year for the festival?
Yeah, this is the first year for the festival, and we're really excited about it. It gives us an opportunity to really get out in the community.
And you were charged with coordinating this.
Sure. Just getting everybody together, making sure they have a cast and a director, you know, rehearsal times, and they're ready to go on show night. That makes me happy.
Now, Justin, is this part of the coursework for the MFA playwriting program?
It's LANYAP for the program. The program doesn't require it, but it's an opportunity for students to get work out, and I wanted to make that happen for them so students don't have to participate. I sort of set it up behind the scenes before passing it off to Brian to really do all of the hard work to make it versatile so that some of our graduating students can show off finished, polished work, and some of our first-year students can show off work that is rough or in progress and perhaps have some discussion about it and maybe build some excitement as they come back to it in future years.
Brian, what are your thoughts as your work is being exposed to the local theater community?
I'm really excited because New Orleans is my home. This is where I intend to stay after graduation and hopefully have some sort of a career here. So it's really exciting for me to be able to work with local actors and directors. Yeah, it's good.
Now, your work will be read tonight. What is the name of your play and what subject matter do you explore?
It's called King Leary, a trailer park adaptation of King Lear. So it's about a guy. He's got 400 vodka bottles, which he considers to be his inheritance to his sons. And they are working to try to get the bottles from him. And along the way, they have to deal with him as an alcoholic. They have to deal with him as a racist. It comes to the end whether or not he should be redeemed as a person. Can you find redemption or not?
He's got issues.
Yeah, he does.
He does. Yeah. Having seen this show in development in class, it's a really powerful piece. It takes that idea of redemption and these sort of notions of arrogance and cultural power and resets it in the sort of, I don't want to say rural deep south, but it feels rural deep south.
Yeah, I definitely had that in mind.
It felt to touch on a soul that's sort of unique to a lot of your work as somebody who's, you know, grown up here and been part of this world for a long time.
Sure, yeah. I spent some time in some rural trailer parks. Yeah.
Now, you are among several emerging playwrights who are participating in the festival. How many others are participating, and what is the range of subjects being tackled?
We have 7 total playwrights, so 6 plus me. There's so many different plays to go out and see. You have Kevin Hallman. He does a great show called Night Launch. It's about a family growing up during the early days of the space program. You have Mimi Ayers. She's got a great show called Circus Tales. It's about these circus animals trying to survive in captivity, and they try to actually have one of them escape.
Telekinetic elephants. All yeah. You need to know about that play to make it worth your while.
Another one, Bennett's play, is called Sold. It's about a date between a pizza guy and a girl who can see people in their childhood form. So lots of really interesting things to go out and see. Mm-hmm. I really hope people come out and engage with the work and discuss with us the things that we're trying to do.
What does this mean for budding playwrights, this opportunity?
The work can change after you hear it out loud in front of an audience. Just see how people react. See how things sound out loud. It's like maybe the last step in the writing process is another way to look at it.
In some ways, a staged reading like this is an opportunity to let the script do the heavy lifting. When you see a full production, you see lights and sounds and costumes in this very complex visual presentation. And the readings like what we're doing are often very intimate because they're so minimal. It's just the artist's language getting represented. And so that can often make them very, very visceral and very powerful in a different way. Each of the readings are an hour. So some are using the whole hour to show a work or part of a work. And some are going to use that hour to show shorter excerpts and then discuss them.
How do you hope to grow this festival for future playwrights?
Long-term growth is really about taking the work that Brian has done over the last year and starting to expand on it, hopefully bring in larger audience, make it more stable. In some ways, Brian has led a transition from a sort of ad hoc process I've been doing here at UNO's campus, where each year I've sort of built a little more and a little more until we were finally ready to move off campus and turn it into a proper event. And so hopefully it will continue to grow and become a bigger resource for our students. The theater community here is very supportive of new playwrights and young actors and young directors. And hopefully we can boister that trend and help make this a city for young artists.
UNO Assistant Professor of Playwriting Justin Maxwell and playwright Brian Rager, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The UNO Playwrights Festival runs through Thursday at the Theater at St. Claude, 2240 St. Claude Avenue. More info is on Facebook at UNO Playwrights Festival. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.